Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Glenn Mobert. Today on Route 51, we're having a birthday party for a UW Stevens Point program that helps Wisconsin public schools in their efforts to teach young people about forestry. It's called LEAF, which stands for Learning Experiences and Activities in Forestry, and it is 10 years old this week. LEAF is a partnership between the UW Stevens Point Wisconsin Center for Environmental Education and the Department of Natural Resources. And here in our Wisconsin Public Radio studios, to tell us about it, we've got LEAF Program Director Jeremy Solon of UWSP. Also, Wendy McCown, she's the director of the DNR's Bureau of Forestry Services, and Karen Dostal, the school forest director for the Stevens Point Area School District. Nearly one-third of the state of Wisconsin is covered by forests, which provide important environmental, economic, and social benefits for the people of our state. And if we're going to take care of them, preserve them, and make sure that they're here for future generations, we may need to educate young people today about their value. As always, the program is open to you this afternoon. If you've got a question, a comment, or you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Jeremy, Wendy, and Karen, welcome to Route 51. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jeremy, it was 10 years ago in 2001 that a number of people got together to request, and they ended up getting legislation that established the LEAF program for comprehensive forestry education in K through 12 schools. Why was that even seen as being necessary?
Well, I think there's a real recognition of the importance of forests for a variety of perspectives. One, you know, forests are really a life support system, giving us a lot of basic needs from oxygen to water to diversity and recreational opportunities, but also our major economic driver in the state. So it was really about, you know, thinking about the future and how we were going to be able to take care of those resources and assure that those resources are available into the future. And so it was a very far-sighted idea on the part of the folks involved.
Who were some of the players that approached the state and said, hey, maybe this is a good idea?
Yeah. Maybe, Wendy, you could talk about that a little bit since you were around.
Sure. Well, one of Jeremy's colleagues, Randy Champeau, was very interested and instrumental in proposing LEAF. One of my earlier bosses, Jean Francisco, who was then the division administrator at DNR, they put their heads together and realized that there were some other curriculum projects in place, such as one that's about energy called KEEP, that were really successfully getting messages about important environmental issues out to kids in the classroom. And so we decided that given our research that showed that, generally speaking, the citizens of Wisconsin don't have a good understanding of the value of our forests or how we can take care of them sustainably. So we really thought that reaching down into the younger grades would be a great way to start to develop a citizenry that is aware of the value of forests and the great win-win story of sustainable forestry.
Is this an ongoing project, or does it have to be renewed every so often?
It's ongoing from our perspective. We are on a contractual basis with the Wisconsin Center for Environmental Education, and we consider them the great experts in how to teach kids about the environment. And there's a very diverse advisory board that helps this going forward. But Jeremy might be able to talk about the fact that I think a lot of folks think of this as just a curriculum. It's just what the teachers would teach, but it's really a whole program that's set up to support teachers in a wide range of needs that they have to be able to teach well and be supported in using the curriculum.
Well, it sounds like a curriculum. It sounded like a curriculum to me when I was first approached with doing this show. Why is it more than just a curriculum?
Yeah, well, we take a really holistic approach to forestry education. Our primary audience is teachers, but we really try to provide them all of the resources and skills that really allow them to go into the classroom and teach about forestry. and Wisconsin's forests. So in addition to providing curriculum materials that are Wisconsin-specific and very relevant to teachers' curriculum tied into state standards and all those things, we also provide teacher professional development in a kind of variety of offerings. And we really think about that as a pathway of professional development. So it's not just a one-time thing for teachers to come in, you know, for a few hours and learn about forests at one time, but we offer a range of professional development experiences for them from just a couple of hours all the way up through a full year of professional development. And then we also provide support for teachers and whole schools to develop outdoor classrooms, whether those are at school forests or right on school grounds. And then we try to keep those folks connected together and sharing ideas and learning from each other through a statewide network of interested teachers.
Karen Dostal, tell us how LEAF works at the local level at the Stevens Point Area School District, where you manage the school forest, correct?
That's right. And the LEAF program provides lots of support for school forests. We hold a school forest summit on a regular basis to get other school forest coordinators together to network. We can contact LEAF at any time if we need curriculum development or staff development, and consult with them on, you know, any issues, whether it's the management of the land or, you know, connecting us to other programs, and then just the curriculum end of it also, so that teachers in the schools are able to use the LEAF curriculum itself to help prepare the kids for their day at the school forest and mm-hmm. to follow up with other activities for the kids to extend that learning opportunity for them.
Well, you know, cynics might say our forests are all around us. All you have to do is walk outside. Why spend the money and resources at UW-Stevens Point, at the DNR, and at our public schools for forestry education? Can't we do it without making it one of these line items in the budget that, as you know, everybody is trying to cut?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think when you have professional environmental educators that are able to act like a liaison between the ecology of the forest and the children, I think that creates a really special learning opportunity for kids.
And I think also, you know, first of all, it'd be great if everybody just walked outside and utilized the forests that were there. But I think the reality is that teachers have lots of constraints and lots of demands, and there's obviously lots of pressure on school districts from a funding standpoint and all of that. And this is really an investment in making sure that teachers are making those connections, understanding the value of getting kids outdoors and learning in an experiential way, and really providing them the tools and resources that they may not have necessarily received during their undergraduate teacher training in how to teach outdoors, how to really do place-based education of students and connect students to what's right in their backyard. So I think that's an important part of that.
I like – here's just a antidote, I guess. One day a kindergartner was getting off the bus, and he gets off the bus and he looks around at the trees and he says, I didn't know we were coming to a real forest. So, you know, what kind of concepts do children have of a forest and what it is and how to learn in a place like that? You know, I don't know if you thought it was like Snoopy Land or something like that.
Well, it's like that old Joni Mitchell song, you know, cut down the trees and put them in a tree museum.
Exactly, right. Exactly. Yeah, we don't want to create a tree museum for kids. We want them to have, you know, real hands-on experiential learning opportunities.
And that's one of the things that I've really noticed. I grew up not very far from here in the Antigo area. And as I grew up, I really realized that I had a different experience growing up than friends or cousins of mine that grew up in cities. But since I've been in this position with the LEAF program, I've really noticed that even rural kids no longer have an experience growing up in the outdoors. And, you know, we're in this situation where Richard Louv, the author, calls it nature deficit disorder, mm-hmm. where kids really don't have an experience growing up outdoors. And so it's really an important effort for teachers to be involved in reconnecting students with the outdoors, and that's really one of the things that our program really helps with.
Well, at UW-Stevens Point and at the public schools, you teach people. People not familiar with this program, would be used to the concept of both of your institutions and public schools in general being involved with curriculum. But Wendy, why does the DNR have to be involved? Why does the DNR have to be involved in a teaching experience like this and helping develop curriculum?
Well, we see this program as one of many tools that we try to employ to help our citizens to be aware and appreciative of what they've got. For example, there's a lot of misconceptions about forests, particularly in Wisconsin. I think a lot of kids get taught about the rainforest, for example, which is a very, very fragile ecosystem, and so they might grow up thinking that all forests are like that. But really, in Wisconsin, our forests can be managed sustainably so that we can, at a very local state level, we can provide many of the forest products that we need. And I think people are generally unaware of how much wood we use on a daily basis, whether it be in our homes or utilizing paper or toilet paper or Kleenex. All those things come from wood. And if we don't have that wood coming from locally, from our own state, where that wood can be grown sustainably, then we have to bring it in from another ecosystem that might be more fragile than Wisconsin's, or we might have to use other materials such as plastics or steel or things that really are have a much heavier environmental footprint than wood does. So wood as a renewable resource, and the fact that we can grow it in Wisconsin and still have gorgeous forests for recreation and for all of the, I think when people think of Wisconsin, they think of water and forests, and it's a beautiful state, and the quality of life here is all about our forests and our water. So we can kind of have all of these benefits of the forest, and I think people maybe take them for granted. So but the state sees a vested interest in having citizens who will support sustainable forestry. That's what our mission is about, the protection and sustainable management of the forests of Wisconsin. And we can't do that well if our citizens don't understand the value of what we've got.
So how does this work in practical terms for somebody like me who doesn't really understand it? How do you influence the curriculum? And as somebody working in the Department of Natural Resources, mm-hmm. Forestry Services Bureau, how do you influence what Jeremy is making available to the public schools and what teachers like Karen are teaching in the public schools?
Right. Well, the way we influence it is through a great process that actually Jeremy and his staff designed. The curriculum is based on a number of workshops that where professionals who know a lot about forestry as well as teachers came together, and they developed how can this great message about forestry, which is pretty complicated, I mean, there's the ecological, the social, and the economic benefits of the forest that need to be taught in a Wisconsin context. And so Jeremy and his colleagues brought together all these folks that could sort of take the science of the message, whether it's sociological science, economics, or ecology, and then work with the teachers to figure out how at every grade level, what are the kids going to be able to learn about this topic at that grade level? And it's not just about the kids learning about science or about math or all the things they can learn from this topic, but we also teach about professions. So another part of my job is to try to recruit folks into the forestry profession. We are the largest employer of foresters in Wisconsin. And the number of folks who are interested in that profession is going down as time goes on, I think because of the features or the factors that Jeremy mentioned, where a lot of folks are growing up without having a relationship to the outdoors. So we teach kids all the very well-paid professions and mm-hmm. very enjoyable, fulfilling professions that are associated with forestry, too.
So, Jeremy, this is really multidisciplinary in terms of your approach. How do you use forestry to teach people math, which is what Wendy just said?
Yeah, well, there's tons of opportunities there. You know, and I think it's all about real-world application and hands-on learning. And so from a math perspective, I mean, we could go on for hours probably, but just basic data collection. So instead of reading about, you know, some chart that's made up in a textbook of, you know, train cars or whatever it might be, students could actually go out, say, measure trees collect some basic data, do basic statistics with that information, and actually get an understanding of what those statistical numbers look like in a landscape and see what those numbers actually mean. So that's just one scenario, but there's actually, from a math perspective, lots and lots of math behind forestry, especially geometry and how we measure trees and how we do inventories of forest lands. Yeah, and like you said, it goes on from there. There's lots of social studies connections with just our interaction with forests through management and other decision-making processes. From a language arts standpoint, all of the journaling and recording of information, lots of opportunities there.
And Karen, are they actually teaching that at the Stevens Point Area School District? Are you using this kind of a multidisciplinary approach so that you can take kids out in the school forest and actually have a practical use of the skills that they might learn in math class?
Absolutely. We have kids doing tree measurements, and they're introduced to trigonometry at an early age. And it all makes sense, later. But they've done some of that kind of work. We had a group from the high school a couple years ago. It was a really large project, and they did it for the Governor's High School Conference and presented it there. They looked at the school forest lands and figured out how much carbon the school forest sequesters each year, and over time, how much carbon has actually been sequestered there and how that relates to climate change issues and so forth. So, that goes from math to social studies to political science, economics, so many different ways and applications.
Karen Dostal of the Stevens Point Area School District. She manages the school forest. We also have Wendy McCown of the Department of Natural Resources and Jeremy Sullen, whose program, LEAF, is celebrating its 10th birthday, teaching young kids about forestry. If you'd like to join the conversation, you're welcome to do that at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, working to build the local economy and strengthen the community by making local business everybody's business. Learn more about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. Today we are talking about an environmental curriculum, interdisciplinary, called LEAF, teaching kids in our public schools about forestry. Our guests are Jeremy Sullen, who directs the program at the UW Stevens Point. It's the Center for Environmental Education. Is that
correct?
Wendy McCown of the Department of Natural Resources, Bureau of Forestry Services, and Karen Dostal, who manages the school forest for the Stevens Point Area School District. 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join the conversation. And let's go to Ned in Wausau, who's on Route 51 with our guests. Hello, Ned.
Hi, thank you for having this program. I'm interested in a couple of things. My first comment is I see a lot of value in such a program as LEAF, and I think that it's the type of program we need in all the counties of Wisconsin. So I know that we have a program in Marathon County at the Wausau School Forest. We have another program in Portage County, I believe, at the Boston School Forest, and I'm curious, how many counties in Wisconsin do we have with such a program? And then I have a follow-up different question after this.
Okay, who wants to take that?
I can take that. Thanks for calling, Ned.
Yeah.
We're fortunate in the state to have a lot of school forests. Right now there are 383 different school forest parcels in the state, those are owned by a little bit over 200 of the school districts. So we have about half of the school districts in the state have school forests.
Is Wisconsin unusual in that regard?
Yeah, very unusual. So in addition to Wisconsin being the first state in the country to have school forests, we also have the largest and most active program right now. There are a few other states that have school forest programs, including Michigan and Minnesota, and Maine and Georgia have a couple of school forests as well. But we are, very unique in that sense. And they are spread throughout the state. Madison has a program. Milwaukee has a school forest, as well as, Hurley and Goodman and lots of rural places. There are just a couple of counties in the state that don't have school forests at this point. But in addition to the school forests, we, as a LEAF program, really work throughout the state. So even schools that don't have a school forest, we're really helping them to create forestry education programs as part of their curriculum as well.
And Ned, I want to give you a chance to get in your follow-up question. We've got about a minute and a half right now to the news break.
Okay, it's real quick. In the Sierra Club, they have a program called No Kid Left Inside. And this sounds like a similar program to the school forest programs, and it has a double benefit. First, it gets kids outside in a little bit more of a naturalist perspective. And second of all, it provides a little bit of exercise as they walk around, and we all recognize the obesity epidemic among our children. So I see at least two major benefits from these programs, and I'd really like to see an expansion of them.
Yeah, that's great. I agree.
At the Boston School Forest, we began a program, we call it No Family Left Inside, and we're trying to develop programs for families to address environmental sensitivity and getting parents and children in the outdoors together.
And we also, we're involved with teacher training this summer that we're calling No Teacher Left Inside as well. So we're trying to get everybody outside as much as possible and connect them with the places they live and understand those systems.
Yeah. I really think that the LEAF program deserves credit for having saved a number of school forests. In lean economic times, sometimes school districts are very attracted to selling off their forested parcels for economic development. And because of the resources that are available through LEAF and the network of people like Karen and her colleagues, we've really been able to successfully help districts to realize what they've got and the value of keeping it forested.
All right, I want to you to hold that thought when we come back from our news break. And Ned, thanks so much for the phone call. When we come back from our news break, we're going to talk about budgetary issues that might be facing a lot of school districts who would like to provide this kind of education. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51. We're talking about the LEAF program, forestry education in the state of Wisconsin. We'll be back with more of your phone calls and more conversation after this news.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. We're back on Route 51 talking about the LEAF program, a forestry education program for our public schools, a collaboration between UW Stevens Point and the Department of Natural Resources, and I guess all the public schools in the state, teaching kids about the importance of our woodlands. LEAF stands for Learning Experiences and Activities in Forestry. It is 10 years old this week, and our guests are Jeremy Solon of UWSP. He's the LEAF Program Director. Wendy McCown, the Director of the DNR's Bureau of Forestry Services, and Karen Dostal, the School Forest Director for the Stevens Point Area School District. We invite you to join the conversation, 1-800-780-9742. Our lines are wide open right now. You can get right through. Mary and Knowlton, you gave up on us over the news break. If you'd like to call us back, we'd be happy to put you on the air or anyone else. 1-800-780-9742 if you want to speak about the value of our woodlands or you have questions about exactly how we're teaching young kids about it these days. We were talking about school forests, and we were talking about budgetary concerns beforehand. And, you know, this is something that's on the mind of a lot of people. There are we had like a $3 billion budget deficit. There have been lots of cuts made at the state level and lots of cuts to local school districts who have to, in some cases, make up hundreds of millions of dollars in their budgets. We've got things like art on the chopping block and extracurriculars and music. Why not school forests? Why shouldn't these school boards look at maybe selling some of this valuable land and reaping the benefits so they don't have to cut other things?
The Boston School Forest land was donated to the local schools back in the year 1937 by a very generous businessman named Harry Boston. And the Boston family is still prevalent in the Stevens Point area as business people. And The way I understand how that land was titled back then, the land actually cannot be sold. It would have to be reverted back to the family that donated the land.
All right, that's Stephen's point. What about other school districts around the state, Jeremy?
Yeah, some of them are in a similar situation where there are deed restrictions. They're either given to schools by the counties, mostly during the Depression era, tax delinquent lands. But there are a lot of them that the districts could sell. And I think, you know, we've been fortunate that districts haven't really looked to cutting their school forest programs, even during these difficult times. There have been discussions, but they've really come to recognize the real value of these sites as outdoor learning sites for students, and the kind of essential learning that happens out there, the hands-on experience, the helping the students to understand their natural and human communities through those forests, and really applying their knowledge from classroom learning. And I think the sale of forest lands is really a short-term gain. And if you look at, say, a school district has 40 acres and they could, you know, generate a few $100,000 off of that, in the long-term scope of a school district, that's really not very much money, and it's a one-time thing, and it might do a little bit of good in the short term, but long term, those students are losing out on that experience. And actually, school forests also generate income for school districts through forest management activities. So long term, if you look at that, the income that's can be received off maintaining those forest lands, using them for education purposes, and occasionally harvesting timber off those is more of a benefit than the short-term sale.
And Wendy McCown, the value of school forest land from the standpoint of the DNR, most of these aren't really huge tracts of land, but do they fill in some vital links and ecosystems in some areas?
Well, they certainly provide habitat for wildlife and habitat for school kids who are learning a lot. And that just maintaining the ecological diversity, even in relatively small tracts, has value. I also wanted to mention that there's quite a lot of research that shows that kids who spend some of their learning time outside, that those kids in those schools have much higher achievement levels, a significant impact from kids spending time outside. So that is a benefit that I think school districts, when they're aware of it, really factor that into the shorter term, weigh it against the shorter term gains for cash that Jeremy was just talking about. Another way that we have a partnership with the School Forest Program is that our DNR foresters prepare the management plans for the school forests. So they ensure with their professional expertise that if there is a timber harvest on the school forest for the district to earn money, that's done in a sustainable way that meets the objectives of the landowner, so that the forest will not be harmed in the long run.
Let me go to the phones right now, because Marion Knowlton has rejoined us. Mary, thanks for not giving up on us.
Hi, thanks.
You're on Route 51.
Sure. So I'm wondering, I'm curious about if there are activities through the LEAF program in places other than school forests. And the reason I ask that is I belong to an organization where people put conservation easements on their land, and an overriding reason why people do that is to preserve lands for future generations. And I know that some of these people would welcome the opportunity to share their land with school groups. I'm just wondering if that is something that you would pursue, or if you only go to school forests.
That's a great question. So we work pretty much with everybody who's interested in educating students about forests. So we're very open. We've worked with nature centers in the past who might have lands to utilize the LEAF curriculum materials or other forestry education materials. We've actually worked with private landowners through Wisconsin Woodland Owners Association, Wisconsin Family Forests, to provide them training in kind of educational principles and providing them curriculum resources so they could have students out to their lands. Another way that we've actually kind of combine these things is that some school forests, school districts have obtained their school forest lands through conservation easements on other private lands. So schools don't actually have to own the land to utilize them as school forests. They can enter into land use agreements with other private landowners or municipalities. Mm-hmm. So that's another option. That doesn't happen very often, but yeah, we're very interested in working with folks who want to host students out on their land, who want to work with teachers in their area. And that's really kind of our focus in building relationships and trying to build a long-term relationship between landowners who are interested in providing forestry education and the teachers, so that both the landowner can serve as a resource for that teacher, and the teachers have sites to go out and take their students. So yeah, that'd be a wonderful opportunity for a local school.
Mary, did that answer your question, or do you have a follow-up?
Well, that did answer it mostly, but I'm also wondering if a landowner had something like a prairie or a bog that, you know, wasn't forested land. Mm-hmm. Is that also something that you'd be interested in?
Yes. So our school forest definition is pretty broad in a sense. We, in partnership with the DNR about 8 years ago, we went through and updated the administration of the school forest program. And basically, we really look at those as outdoor education sites. They should have some forested components to them, but we recognize these are natural systems that are interconnected. And so, you know, there's a direct relationship between prairies, bogs, and forests, and many of the same principles at work. And so the learning opportunities are there. And also, I'll just mention within the Wisconsin Center for Environmental Education, where the LEAF program exists, we have other educational efforts, and we're actually developing an education for sustainability program that looks at not only natural systems but our human systems as well, looking at economics and social aspects in a broader sense, and tying together all of these ideas from, for example, forestry and energy and all these pieces. So I think there are multiple opportunities to engage, whether it's directly through the LEAF program or more broadly through the Wisconsin Center for Environmental Education.
All right. Mary, thanks so
great.
Much.
Thank you.
Thanks
you,
for
Mary.
The phone call. And we've got another caller on the line. Let's go to Kathleen in Montello. Kathleen, you're on. I just lost Kathleen. Kathleen, I'm so sorry. Kathleen, call us right back. Sometimes you try to push buttons, and that happens. Kathleen, call us back. We'll get you on the air. We've got about 15 minutes left on the show.
In the meantime, I think folks might be interested in a new program that LEAF's developing that's for schools where there isn't a forest nearby. It's called the School Grounds Program, and it's just another way to get green space going near a school so that kids can learn there. Jeremy, will you tell us about that?
Yeah, exactly. So obviously, school forests are these amazing resources, but not every district has them. And as we talked, it's essential that we get kids outside and learning outside. So we're developing a new program, as Wendy said, called School Grounds, where we're helping schools to develop outdoor education sites right on their school grounds, whether it's forest land or prairie or just open mowed grass right now, providing resources to teachers so they can get outside and get kids learning outside. So we actually will have a workshop coming up this spring, possibly multiple workshops coming up this spring for teachers, and also we're building our website right now that provides some resources to support teachers to do that.
Karen, tell us about the school forest in Stevens Point. What's it like? You're intimately involved with it. How big is it? What kind of terrain do you have? What sort of ecosystems can students learn about there?
Yeah, we had, my comment just a few minutes earlier, the school forest history goes back to 1937 when Harry Boston donated the land. And between 1937 and 1958, school children came out and planted over 100,000 trees. At the time when our school forest was developed, the land had been plowed and left fallow, so there were no trees on the land. And it's really a remarkable restoration project when you think about it. So our land, it's in Plover, Wisconsin, and we have, it's mostly pine plantation. Back in 2005, we did a timber harvest, and the goal of that timber harvest was to teach kids about sustainable forestry practices, and we're working on converting that forest into a more typical forest habitat with mixed tree cover and habitat and like that.
So what you're teaching kids is that forests aren't necessarily just pristine, untouched, undeveloped wilderness. You can reap some economic benefits from them. You can cut trees down. You can harvest them. But you do it in a way that the forest is still there when you're done.
That's sustainable, right. And that the forest changes over time. And, right, so if you ask a typical third grader, is it okay to cut a tree, that child will probably answer no. And so they need to learn that, you know, forests, trees are a usable resource. We spend some time talking about it is important to leave some land in the world that's completely wild and untouched. We need those wilderness spaces too. But even a place like the school forest, it's not a wilderness. It's a place for children to learn, and it's a place for us to... We can harvest the trees, and that benefits the school forest program also.
Let's go back to the phones. Karen in Montello has rejoined us. Karen, sorry for hanging up on you there.
That's okay. It's Kathleen.
Oh, it's Kathleen. Okay.
That's okay. As long as you don't hang up on me, I won't hold it against you. I was saying that we had a wonderful experience. The Montello Historic Preservation Society had a wonderful experience when we tapped into using Jeremy for... during the year of John Muir, which we had in 2010, because Marquette County was John Muir's boyhood home. And we did a project in the county requesting people to send in photos or have me come out and do stories of their favorite trees. And then we included that in a book called Muir is Still Here. But one of the events that we had during that year of John Muir was Jeremy came down and did a tree program for us in Marquette County. And it was so well received. And then he's been just a wonderful resource, too, because I still get calls from people in Marquette County saying, are you still collecting those stories about favorite trees? And then I go out and do the story, but sometimes we have questions about that. So I just wanted to say that the LEAF program is great, and it's not just for kids. Those of us who are adults can partake in the great knowledge that's up there, too. So thanks, Jeremy.
You bet. Thanks for calling in. Good to hear from you, Kathleen.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Kathleen. 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join the conversation about the LEAF program celebrating its 10th anniversary at UW-Stevens Point, teaching young kids in public schools all across the state of Wisconsin about forestry. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from Northwind Renewable Energy in Stevens Point, partnering with agricultural and commercial industries to invest in central Wisconsin's renewable energy future. More about the benefits of solar for business at northwindre.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio, talking about the LEAF program, which is a collaboration between UW-Stevens Point and the Department of Natural Resources, teaching kids in public schools all across the state of Wisconsin about the importance of our woodlands and forestry. Karen Dostal of the Stevens Point Area School District, Jeremy Sullen, the director of LEAF, and Wendy McCown of the DNR are our guests today. And Karen, you were talking at one point about how this is all interdisciplinary, and we ran through all the different disciplines that are involved in teaching, and one of them involved climate science. Do you teach about the effects of climate change on our forests?
What we do at the school forest is very experiential. So we begin with the younger kids and talking about awareness of their environment, the awareness of what's about them. We talk about the knowledge of ecology and how all things in nature sort of fit together. We don't spend a lot of time like lecturing the kids. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're like right now with our fourth grade program, the kids are outside, we're learning, teaching them how to cross country ski, and they go snowshoeing and they learn about winter ecology. If it comes up in conversation, you know, or, you know, part of, what we're talking about. But what we do is teach kids out in the woods. So, I hope that, you know, part of the science curriculum, you know, they're going to learn about energy, they're going to talk about climate change and hopefully some renewables and, you know, other sources of energy. So a lot of that sort of learning is going to happen in the classroom, but what we do is, is very hands-on, very experiential learning.
Well, there was an article published in Wausau City Pages a couple of weeks ago in which a reporter, a friend of mine, Pat Peckham, interviewed a number of Wisconsin climate scientists. And the prediction he got from just about all of them is within a few decades, northern Wisconsin will have a climate that in the best-case scenario is like Madison's today, in the worst-case scenario, like Missouri.
Right.
How would that affect our forests and our lakes and our ecosystems? And it would have to also affect tourism and skiing and snowmobiling and all of the things that are based on that. It would affect exactly, you know, what trees are growing in our forests, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it probably will affect species compositions in our forests. And we have other partnerships on that, looking at that science, the genetics of projected changes in forest composition, and also trying to work from a genetics perspective on which species are likely to adapt to changing conditions, and for Wisconsin, which particular genetic strains are going to be able to survive that, and how the ranges of different species will likely change over time. So it's uses modeling, which is a very imperfect science, but we really do feel like part of our job with our science partners at the university level is to try to be prepared for the changes that will come. Long-term changes in the forest always happen. Some of these might happen from climate change. They can happen from many other forces as well. So we just need to be prepared to adapt to changing conditions.
And from an education perspective, you know, we approach that a couple of different ways. One, kind of the direct connection is from a phenology standpoint of just getting students to observe seasonal changes in nature and annual changes and, you know, looking at past observations and looking at how things change. And then we also partner extensively with folks like U.S. Forest Service and other forestry education providers and forestry scientists to really utilize that information that's coming up. And it's another integration into, like Karen mentioned, the science curriculum, the math curriculum, the social studies curriculum that we can make for them.
You know, most of the people listening to this show live in predominantly rural sections of the state. If they live in a city like Stevens Point or Wausau or Marshfield or Wisconsin Rapids, you know, the outdoors ain't too far away from those city boundaries. Mm-hmm. But what about kids in Milwaukee? How do kids growing up in an urban environment have access to the outdoors and woodlands? Is that something that we still need to address more than we're addressing it now?
Yeah, definitely. We actually take two approaches to that. One, you know, we like to get kids out into wild spaces and natural areas as much as possible. And you know, there are camps and field trip sites that do that, like Central Wisconsin Environmental Station and places like that. But the other piece of it is really teaching kids where they're at. And even in Milwaukee, there are trees and small green spaces. And so we actually developed a full curriculum around urban forestry that helps kids and teachers understand forests from the perspective of an urban area and how those forests are taken care of, the values that they provide to us from pollution prevention and aesthetic value and all those kind of things. And how we need to take care of them and the importance. So, yeah, it's incredibly important to engage those kids in urban areas and help them to understand that really nature is everywhere. We are part of nature, and we need to be aware of that and figure out ways to live within those systems.
Karen, how do kids react when they're out in the woods instead of a classroom?
They're effusive in their you know, they're so excited to be out there and having those kinds of experiences. Occasionally we get a child who's fearful because they haven't been in a place like that before. But we, you know, do our best to make them confident. They're generally very exuberant. They have lots of questions. They like to let you know about their knowledge of the outdoors. We love to hear the stories about Grandpa taking the kids hunting or fishing. Basically, they spend a lot of time exploring and that's just exactly what we want them to do.
And how do teachers react when they're out in the woods with their classes?
the teachers in the Stevens Point district are very enthusiastic also. They really enjoy their time at the school forest. One thing, so many teachers say that they see their children, they see their students in a different light, and they see kids that aren't normally leaders in the classroom, they become leaders when they're in the outdoors, and other kids see them differently.
We are out of time. I want to thank all three of you, and I want to leave you with a quote from John Muir that's on your annual report. Between every two pines is a doorway to a new world. Thanks to Jeremy Sullen, the director of the LEAF program of UW-Stevens Point, and also Wendy McCown, the director of DNR's Bureau of Forestry Services, and Karen Dostal, the school forest director for the Stevens Point Area School District. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, and our on-air producers, Crystal Bennis and Jane Ritger. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. Until next week, we are heading out of town.